Well, amen. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Ruth. We're in the third chapter today. And if you've been here following through with us, then you know the overarching story of this grand old book. Grateful to God for it. If you don't, just a quick overview. You read this story and you find Elimelech and his wife Naomi and two boys. They live in Bethlehem. There's a famine. They run to Moab. It's a pagan land. When they get there, the two boys get married. One marries Orpha, one marries Ruth. That's the name of the book. Then daddy dies, the two boys die. Orpha goes back to her mom and daddy, and Ruth goes with Naomi back home to Bethlehem. And there they are, two widows, a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law, both widowed, and there Ruth is working in the harvest field where she has just happened to run into Boaz in his field. And she's been working. And now we come to this third chapter as she comes home after working in the barley field in the harvest time. And we find this interaction between Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi. And this chapter is the last chapter where Ruth and Naomi say a word. They don't say anything, chapter 4. We begin with Naomi, Ruth in the middle, Boaz at the end. He becomes the kinsman redeemer. We'll talk about that on Mother's Day next week. Hope you'll come and be here with Mom on that Sunday morning. But today we look at a message I've entitled, or really Boaz has entitled it, Ruth, a woman of excellence. Let's look at this dialogue to begin between Naomi and her daughter-in-law. You follow along in Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 because this now is God's blessed word. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." And she said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, now, this is a place where I wish we knew voice inflection in the Word of God. So, Boaz wakes up. He's at the threshing floor. His feet are cold. And he sees her. And he either says, "Who are you?" Or, "Who are you?" Well, we don't know. I think he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lays at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured six measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. If we had more older women like Naomi, we'd have more younger women like Ruth. This elderly lady is discipling her young daughter-in-law, and she sends her on what I call a midnight proposal. I believe that Ruth is proposing to Boaz. You say, well, isn't that backwards? Well, yeah, most of the time. Doesn't it normally happen with a man? I said, yeah. Well, why did not Boaz propose to her? Well, he gives us 2 reasons in the text. Number one, he was old, she was young, and he thought she would be going after younger men and be attractive to a younger man. And secondly, he knew that he was just the second cousin. There was a first cousin closer than he was who would, with the Old Testament Deuteronomy 25 Levirate law, understand that when a woman died and she did not have any children, that the family of the man, the oldest and closest kin, would come as the kinsman redeemer and claim her and take her property as well as her into his fold, therefore for that man's name to be perpetuated as that woman would marry him. And Boaz said, I'm not first in line, there's one closer than I am, therefore he was not proposing. But she came. She laid down his feet. A lot of people think this is kind of sketchy. There's nothing immoral here. This is a round threshing floor. It's packed down. The men are sleeping. The barley harvest is over. They bring the grain and thresh it. They'd have the animals walk on it, and then they would throw it up in the air, and the chaff would blow away, and the grain would come down. And they would do that day upon day upon day until the grain was there, and they slept with the grain for fear someone come steal. And so Boaz is sleeping at the threshing floor until they can get ready to put the grain into the storage bins where it would be. And you go back and read in the Exodus about that and how they stored up the grain. Well, here they were waiting until it was time for storage. And she goes and uncovers his feet. And there, as her mother-in-law has said, go present yourself. And she does. And she says to Boaz, you are the answer to your own prayer. And Ruth 2:12, you know, we saw last week where Boaz said, may God bless you and take care of you, and may you come under the wings of God. That same word, under the wings of God, is the word in verse 9 where Ruth says to Boaz, spread your covering over me. It's really spread your wings, your protection over me. Very same word here. Then he says to her down in verse number 11, everyone in this city knows that you are a woman of excellence. The word is an interesting Hebrew word. Sometimes it is translated noble. You are a noble woman. Sometimes high character, a woman of character. Sometimes, and I think the very best word is the one here, virtue. You are a virtuous woman. You're a woman of high standards, strong and virtuous and of deep moral character. She is a Proverbs 31 lady. Excellence. And it's that virtue that I want us to look at this morning. Ruth, a woman of excellence. What is this virtue that we see in her life? Three things I want you to see. Then we're going to give a gospel invitation, invite you to come. I had people all over this campus, especially early this morning, come to me and say, you know, Pastor, we're visiting, we're thinking about joining. And another couple, I heard it 3, 4, 5 times, we're thinking about joining. Several of them did after first service. Some of you are in this service today and you say, well, I'm coming to make my profession. I'm coming like these three that were baptized. Then come today. Let's do what God would have you do. And we'll give that invitation here as well as out at Next Steps. Let's dive into this third chapter. There's so much that is here. It is the last time we will hear Naomi and Ruth speak. They do not talk in chapter 4. Boaz will do all the talking when we get to chapter 4. But we find this dialogue between Naomi and her daughter-in-law and then direction given. And Ruth is shown to be this virtuous woman. First of all, I want you to see that Ruth lived the virtue, number one, of obedience. Obedience. Notice in verse number 5, Ruth was told by Naomi what to do. And then she said in verse 5, all that you say, I will do. I'll do it. She had the virtue of being obedient. Now, mothers-in-law get a bad rap sometimes. My mother-in-law spoke into my heart more than one occasion. She'd have been 99 just this week had she lived. Sweet Mary. Grateful to God that she would speak. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, children, obey your parents. In Colossians 3 and verse 20, he says it again. Children, you are to be obedient to your parents. Now, those of you that are children that have parents still living, let me just say something to you. Your parents really do like you. Amen. And they want the best for you. Amen. Now, I know they look like old fogies sometimes, and they act old-fashioned, but they really want the best for you. And Naomi wanted the best for Ruth. She told her to do 4 things. Notice it. She said to her, wash yourself, anoint yourself, dress yourself, and go. Go to where that man is. Oh, what great words to us. And behind this whole text, there is the story of Jesus in redemption that will really come to fruition next week. But we see it even here when Naomi says, wash. We're to wash ourselves. Be clean before the Lord. Over in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. You see, when you come to Jesus, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been singing about it this morning. You are washed clean. And she says to her girl, wash yourself. She's been at the barley harvest. She's a mess. Clean up. A little soap and water never hurt you. Amen. Secondly, anoint yourself. You're going down there to the threshing floor. It's a bunch of stinking farmers. They've been sweating and working for these weeks. Put on the best smelling stuff you got, Ruth. Head down there to the threshing floor. You have an anointing in 1 John 2:20. Oh, yeah, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know it. It's the touch and the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody saved got the Holy Spirit in, but not everybody has the anointing of the Spirit of God. You got to come in brokenness before God until the holy touch is there. An anointing. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, dress yourself. Don't wear your clothes that you're going to wear to get to barley. You're not field hand clothes. These are going out clothes. She's going to the prom. Let's go. She dresses herself. We're to dress ourselves. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Dress up. Dress up in the righteousness of King Jesus. And then the text says, after you wash and anoint and dress, now go. Go and be obedient. Move forward. Some of you already know what you're supposed to do, and you just won't do it. You're stubborn, you're disobedient, you're running from God. You know what God told you to do. Now go and be about it. That's what she says to her. And Ruth says to Naomi, all that you said, I'll do it. Oh, dear friend, if your parents have spoken into your life, and they put truth there, go and do it. They really do love you. They care for you. Children, obey your parents. It was the spring of 1972, 52 years ago. I'm just getting ready to graduate high school. I'm going to the gym where it'll be 114 degrees. They told me to wear a suit like this, a tie, and then put on another layer with a robe. Put a hat on your head with a tassel in your nose. Wear your best shoes and have them shined. If you're not dressed like that, we'll pull you out of the line. Well, we were getting ready for graduation. I'd broken up with my girlfriend. There was another girl in our class. I kind of liked her. So I rang her up one night. I said, hey, how about going? There's a new movie showing over here. Let's go. She said, all right. So I picked her up. We went. We got to the movie, and it was one where you had to be 18 to get in. She was just 17. I was 18. They wouldn't let her in. Those days when they really did check. So we went and did something else, came back. I worked the weekend at the grocery store. And Monday afternoon came, I said to Mother, I said, you know, we didn't see that movie the other night. I think I'm just going to go tonight and see it. Mother said, what time are you leaving? I said, oh, about 5. She said, good. I went to get in the car and she got in. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, you can go by yourself. I go up, I'm going with you. I said, I don't really think you would like this too much. She said, it's all right, I'm going to go anyway. So we got over there and they checked IDs and Mother qualified. And I cannot even tell you what the movie was. I'm so scared I forgot about it. We never said a word till we got back in the car, and my mother just said a short phrase. She said, well, if that's what you're going to these movie houses to watch, you can just stop going. Till this day, I never walk in the theater. I don't think about my mother. Man, she spoke straight, strong. But you know, she never did badger me about it. She didn't check back with me. She just told me. Told what I need to do, what I didn't need to do. Why'd she do that? Because my mother loved me. It may look harsh at the time, guys, but let me tell you, your folks really do care about you. Naomi really did care about Ruth. And she told her, wash up, smell better, dress up, and go. And go. She did, down to the threshing floor with the virtue of being obedient to what she had been told. Obey the Lord first and those Naomis that God puts in your life because they really do care for you. She then, secondly, Ruth lived the virtue not only of obedience, but she lived the virtue of courage. Can you imagine this Moabite pagan woman that had come to faith and had put her trust in the God of Israel, now told by Naomi, go down and at the late hour uncover his feet and lie down and wait there. I mean, can you imagine this young girl? And she goes to claim her Goel, the Redeemer. And there she comes and lies at his feet after he's full and he's asleep. And the cool air blows and he wakes up with his feet chilly. And he looks down and says, "Who are you?" Wow. Now, a lot of people like to make this immoral and sketchy. I'm just telling you, there's nothing immoral here. There is a proposal underway where Ruth is presenting herself to say, "You're my closest relative." Verse 9. "Naomi and I have land, and if you would redeem us according to Levirate law," she's just simply presenting herself and says, "Now spread your covering. Put your wings over me." She is making a private confession unto Boaz. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When God moves your soul, you must get alone with God and make that private confession of unloading your life and opening your heart and saying, "Lord, not my will, yours be done. God, not my way, your way. Not my direction, your direction." And you come to the place that you draw a line and say, "You are my kinsman redeemer. I'm selling out everything for you." She went in this private confession, ready when he was to make it a public confession. And what you do in your heart, then God's going to ask you to come to that baptistry and do out in front of everybody, or in a trough like we did here on Tuesday night with those college kids. But he's going to invite you and demand of you and call you after you've settled it in your soul in the pew. It's time to go public in front of everyone, in front of your culture, in front of your colleagues, in front of your citizens, your fellow students, and business people. You see, she was a lady of courage. She was a Proverbs 31 lady. Proverbs 31, 27, one of the things, I love this text. Proverbs 31, verse 27, "She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness." Nothing idle about Ruth. She is on the go. I mean, she is going. Going. And some of you need to rise up and go today. You need to get up and do what God's called you to do. There's some people in here God's called to be saved. Let's go. There's some people God called to preach. Let's go. There's some people God called to be a mission. Let's go. Some of you have been called to be obedient and confess your sin and go to your family and share with them that Jesus is the King of your life. Let's go. Let's go. It takes courage, but don't be idle. Don't be slothful. Let's go. That's what Naomi said to Ruth. "Go." And she said, "I will do it." And she went and lay at his feet. Said, "Would you not now spread your wings over me?" Boaz said, "Well, I would, but there's one closer than I am, and if he says no, I will say yes." He too is showing courage and obedience to Levirate law. He says to her, "Stretch out your cloth," and he pours 6 measures of barley. Said, I won't let you go home empty-handed. I wouldn't want Naomi to be empty-handed. I take this to you. My preaching hero, Dr. Criswell, preaches a sermon on this entitled, "Why 6 Measures and Not 7? These 6 measures weigh about 75 pounds. She's carrying all that grain back, and she'll not come empty-handed. Dr. Criswell says the 7th measure is coming in chapter 4. That's fullness. He's going to give his all unto her. And so we see the courage of Ruth. So she goes home and gives the grain to Naomi. And then in verse 18, she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he settled it today." We see Ruth living not only in the virtue of obedience and courage, but now in the virtue of patience. patience. Just wait, wait, young lady, wait. He'll settle it. And I'm telling you, before Ruth got home, Boaz was already knocking on the closest kinsman's door. Said, there's this girl down here. You say, yeah, I know Ruth. Would you redeem? Yeah, man, I'd like to have that piece of land. Said, well, you can take the land. That's good, but she comes with it. And he said, whoop. We'll see that in chapter 4. He said, no, I can't do that. And Boaz steps up and said, if you will not, I will. He will settle it and settle it quickly. Wait. Wait, Ruth. Just be patient. Have you ever run ahead of God? They just want to get in a hurry. Lord knows I have. But if you ever lag back, oh man, I've done that too. Friend, just be patient till you know what God says, and when He says it, do it. Do it. But live in this virtue of patience. Wait for the man Boaz. He will settle it, and he'll settle it today. Proverbs 31:25 says about this virtuous woman, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I love that phrase. She smiles at the future. She's going to trust God in the future. She will wait, wait, wait. Just wait till God says. Harlan, Casey, and I are taking the lead on trying to find the next person to lead our high school ministry. Hardest thing we do is wait. We think we're close, but we're just waiting on God's final confirmation. You know, the only thing worse than no staff member is the wrong staff member. You know, the only thing worse than no wife or husband? Yeah, the wrong wife or husband. You wait until the Spirit of God speaks. So many times we see the death of a spouse, and then the one left struggles and asks the question, when would I be released to begin again? There are men in this church that I've talked with, and they will not take off their wedding band. They've told me that they will never take it off. And then there are women who ask the same, and the day comes when that man or woman finally takes off that ring and lays it in a certain place, and they're free to begin again. How do you know when that time has come? Never underestimate God's gift of a spiritual Naomi in your life. That's what Naomi is saying to this young. She'd been married to her son. And now she says, you are free to begin again. Go to Boaz. Some people never marry again. It's fine. Others struggle. When is it okay? And then finally, after waiting, God says through a Naomi, you're released. You're released. Go. Begin again. And you see that in the beauty of the story with Ruth, where God releases her, but only through the voice of her mentor, Naomi. And she's told her here, it'll be okay. Just wait. It's coming. Wait on the Lord. Psalms is full of this. Psalm 25 in verse 5, lead me in the truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Amen. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 37:34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and you'll see it. Oh, yes. And then in Psalm 40 in verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Patience, what a virtue. We just sometimes want to get in too big a hurry. Then sometimes we want to lag behind. That's not right either. When God speaks, do it. I asked Liz, I said, if I were to ask you that question, do you know what you'd say? And she said, no. Now the question was, will you marry me? Do you know the answer? No. And I shrunk back and I thought, that's what I was afraid of. That's... So we waited. We waited. We were at the Delaney Street Baptist Church, Orlando, Florida. First time I'd ever flown. Flew from Birmingham to Orlando, and there I was to speak in the ordination service for my good friend Tim Campbell. He was the one who had introduced Liz and myself. Tim died way too young. He's in heaven today. Marvelous tenor voice. We went there for his ordination. We were there on Saturday. I got puking sick. I mean throwing up everything but my toenails sick. I couldn't even go to church on Sunday morning. I didn't know if I was going to be able to preach on Sunday night for the ordination. So, I mean, I was just sick. But I rallied and I was able to come. And I sat in the pulpit chair. They had an interim pastor and he came and my wife was seated at the front, and some gentleman there, and then Tim's fiance was there, and the pastor had them mixed up. And every time he was looking at what he thought was Tim's fiance, he was looking at my Liz. And he was saying, you young lady, have been chosen to stand with this man through ministry. And Liz is going... It's that dude over there. Not me. And he just kept on. He didn't know. And my wife, as corny as it sounded, she said, I looked up on that platform and she said, it was like there was a light behind your head, almost like a halo. I said, that's the only angelic moment of my life. I somehow preached through that service. We ordained him. He would later break up with that girl and never marry her. The preacher didn't have it backwards. He had it just right. Now, I walked off the platform that day, and as I hit the bottom step, my Liz walked up to me and she said, when you're ready to ask, the answer is yes. Took me 6 weeks. She scared my socks up and down my legs. I'm telling you, I didn't know what to do with that. Here came Ruth making a proposal at the threshing floor, and I'm like, what in the world? I know. So finally I went and bought it, had it in my pocket, and picked her up, and we pulled around behind the chapel at Samford University, and I pulled that ring out of my pocket. I think it had a diamond in it. Something was spoiled a little bit. I couldn't, it wasn't a whole lot in there, but I handed her that and I said, will you marry me? And she said, well, you know I will. I told you I would. And I slipped that ring on her finger 47 years ago. That was in the parking lot behind the chapel. That parking lot's not there anymore. There's a huge 3-story building that's there now. They built it in our honor. I keep thinking they're going to put my name on it, but they don't want to give me none of that. Sometimes we'd drive around, we'd be back in town, we'd go by there and remember that night. It's the virtue of patience. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior that you can rest in who is never late and never early, but always perfectly on time? You can rest in Him. And you know when He speaks, do it. Have courage. When He says wait, have patience. When He says go, go. When He says stop, stop. And have the virtue to obey what God tells you to do. Amen. Be about it. There's some of you here that you have parents that are older and have lost a spouse and they're beginning to date and think about, and you want them to do the right thing. It's hard. Love them. If you have a word for them, speak it. If you need to release them, release them. But if you've never had a relationship before, don't try to forge one now. Make sure God's put you in the place where you've been talking about lesser things so you can talk about greater things. Amen. That's what a Naomi does in our life. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say to do, I will do, said that blessed girl, Ruth. And of course, Boaz redeems her. We see that on Mother's Day next Sunday. They marry and have a baby. Amen. Naomi holds a baby. Glory to God. And through the lineage of that child comes King David. And of course comes King Jesus. Through the lineage, because they obeyed God.